I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Let's BOGO! The Hoppin' Good sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan. Welcome to your Wednesday morning. It is going to be a gorgeous day.
It looks cloudy out there right about now.
That's fine. That sun will come out and burn all those clouds away.
Let's go, baby. I'm ready for it. I'm ready to just have the beautiful sun, warm days. Like, not the sunny days and you walk outside and you freeze like the last couple of days. Like, let's walk outside and sweat.
Yeah, just play the song Waiting on a Sunny Day from The Rising by Bruce Springsteen.
Great album.
One of the deep cuts of the best from The Boss.
You consider that a deep cut? Because I consider that entire album number one hits. But that's just me.
Right. I mean, that's...
That was just such a hell of an album, man.
Yeah, it probably strikes a little bit closer to home for you than most, too.
I mean, you could see those towers from my parents' neighborhood. Like, so, yeah, it does.
Yeah, that album is awesome.
And I remember flying into New York 4 days after 9/11. And
I'm surprised you were able to fly in there
soon. We were one of the first flights after 9/11
to land. Like, no way am I doing that.
And we landed from the north, and I remember being on the left side of the plane looking out and just seeing, like...
Nothing.
No, yeah, fire, oh, smoke, yeah, yeah. All, I mean, like, everything that was still going on. And I just remember being on that plane and try to picture the quietest moment you've ever been in your entire life. And that's the way that plane was. There wasn't a word being said. Nobody was moving. Everybody was just looking out those windows going, oh my God. Like, it was a surreal experience landing in Newark Airport that day. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And so, yeah, that album, The Rising, it is personal. I'll say that it is personal. And that's okay.
That's what it's built from.
Yeah.
Right. Obviously, he's from Jersey. He's up there. And yeah, there's the Nothing Man, Lonesome Day, The Rising's Waiting on a Sunny Day, My City of Ruins, You're Missing. Good Lord,
the whole album is just fantastic. Like, if you haven't sat down, I remember when he did his first concert after 9/11, it was at Kemper Arena. And, you know, people were mad that, like, all he's doing is playing this new album. Like, the tour is called The Rising Tour. Mm. You knew this was going to be the case going in. If you didn't do your homework and listen to the album ahead of time, you know, that's on you. But I just remember he's not doing, like, and he did play this stuff, you know, the hits of the, of course, you know, you got to give the people what they want. But at that point in time, he was, you know, debuting that new album, and it was unbelievable.
The last thing I'll say about this conversation is, if you want to see something impressive, go watch Waiting on a Sunny Day live in Barcelona. It's from 2001. An entire country that speaks Spanish sings that entire song in English. And at one point, he just shuts up and lets the crowd play it. In sync, word for word, clear as day.
That's awesome.
Every word is
usually
sick.
I don't like that. You know, when the singer stops and the crowd goes in, I'm like, I'm paying to see you, not hear Joe next to me. But I'm interested in that, actually, to see.
I'll send it to you guys.
You know, how that kind of goes. In the break, you were talking about Will Venable, the White Sox, you know, manager, celebrating his first major league win, getting doused with champagne, you know, a couple weeks ago or however long it's been now. I'm like, that's cool. I'm all for it, because you could be like this guy, Mike McDonald, and get fired yesterday. I mean, you. Five of the last seven NBA championship head coaches have been fired.
It's nuts, dude.
That league sucks, man. It really does.
I sent it to Mac and Drew almost immediately when Shams broke it. And I was like, you know, it's past April 1st, so I know this wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
I was put off by it because, like, I like to root for Denver. Like, I don't really root for OKC as a close local team, but, like, love watching Jokic play. Christian Brown, local kid. Michael Porter Jr. went to Mizzou for about a half a minute and then into the league.
Yeah, played that, like 10 games. Yeah,
did he play that many at Mizzou?
I think it was 10, yeah.
Because then he got hurt against Kansas, yeah, and then he was out for the majority of the year, then tried to come back. But yeah, they fired their coach yesterday, plus their GM.
How many games are left in the regular season?
Three for them.
Three, right? Three games.
And they're what, the four or five?
They're right in there. It's so close. It changes
every day.
Because
they're right there with the Lakers, and they just lost last night to OKC. But yeah, that's nuts, man. Like, they just, like, right before the playoffs, and I tried to give it to Mac this morning before I let him cook on this topic. It's like if in 2 years from now, it's week 16 and the Eagles fire Sirianni.
Right.
Like, it's not like a week 8, like things are going sour. There's three games left until the playoffs start. And
you've already got a spot in the playoffs clinched and you're getting your coach fired.
And you just won a title.
Right.
So Mac thinks it might go back to a certain audio clip that he found this morning why this guy might be fired.
Oh, sorry. Let me get
It's okay.
I got it. Can I play it or does it not work on my thing?
Each guy has to look themselves in the mirror and start coming to each respective game with the proper mindset and have some pride. I didn't think we played with any pride tonight.
How do you feel like they took that?
I don't really care. It's not my job to evaluate how they take things. My job is to be honest, and sometimes brutally honest. And tonight, it was a brutally honest message. And the guys that are full of shit won't hear it. You know, they'll say, coach is tripping. And the guys that maybe do really care will, because they don't want, they're not going to go back and watch their minutes, because nobody watches their minutes. Nobody watches film. So we'll have to show them the film. And I said, if somebody disagrees with me, please speak up. And nobody said a word. So
they just went to their boss and cried.
Concerned with how they took that message. My thing is being honest with how we just played.
I hope Denver gets bounced in the first round. Screw them, man. Like, you're mad at your coach, so you went and complained, basically, is what I'm gathering out of all of that. If you're not playing well, play better. I mean, that's Gen Z loser ball.
Who did that on that team? Because Jokic wouldn't do that. Russell Westbrook wouldn't do that. Jamal Murray wouldn't do that. I could see Russell Brown wouldn't do that.
How do you know Russell Westbrook wouldn't do that? That guy sucks.
Because he's lucky to be on it.
He sucks for reasons that are not related to that at all. He's one of the hardest workers in the NBA. I'm a Russell Westbrook hater. Day one.
Yeah.
One of my first sports takes when I was 13. Russell Westbrook sucks at basketball.
One of my first sports takes when I was 13 is Yogi Berra is pretty good behind the plate, guys. He ought to play more. Get that Bill Dickey out the way.
Yeah, so Russell Westbrook is not a guy who's going, hey, this guy's saying I should watch. No, he's
who knows, man? The athletes today complain about everything. They don't like the way the coach is treating them. They go and complain, but it just goes to show you.
That does scream Michael Porter Jr., though.
It does.
Of course.
I know, but what also that screams to you, though, is the NBA head coach is the most useless job in professional sports today. There is, like, the first base coach brings more to the equation than the NBA head coach does. It does. The NBA head coach is a useless position in sports. They just fire these guys all the time. Every year they're replacing coaches. I mean, look, 5 of the last 7 NBA champions have fired their coach. That's insane, man.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Like, that is wild. It just goes to show you, unless you're like Greg Popovich or Eric Spoelstra or Pat Riley back in the day, another good NBA. These guys are vagabonds. They should never buy a house. They should always rent. And they're telling you, you're not a valued position because they just go through coaches like I do toilet paper. I mean, it's insane. There is no more worthless job in professional sports than an NBA head coach because 90% of the players aren't watching you, listening to you, paying attention to you. The other 10%, whatever. And then you're out there just talking to yourself most of the time. I mean, that job, man, that's a useless job.
I think when the playoffs start, it gets pretty useful. It's really important.
So it's similar to like MLB managers. That's the narrative. Like, our own boss is like, the MLB manager, he said this before. He's like, they're irrelevant until the playoffs. And then you got to be situational. You've got to understand.
Maybe you were yesterday.
Were you watching the Mets Marlins at all yesterday?
No.
Okay. So that game's on. Mm. And it's, I don't know, it was like a 3-run lead maybe for the Marlins. I don't remember what the score was at this point in time. But the Mets had 2 guys on. They had 2nd and 3rd and 1 out. Mm-hmm. And Juan Soto was coming up to the plate, right? Mm-hmm. So Pete Alonso's on deck. the manager, whoever that idiot is for Florida, decides to walk Juan Soto intentionally and pitch to Pete Alonso, who is one of the hottest players in baseball right now.
And gone.
Not, hang on. One out. Now the bases are loaded. Okay? Double play gets you out of the inning. What does the manager do? He plays the infield in. Not even a double. So you loaded the bases to set up the double play. Then you played the infield in, and then Pete Alonso gaps one and clears the bases, and you end up losing the game. But that those are instances right there that you look at, you go, that guy's too stupid to be even a Major League Baseball manager. You walk Juan Soto to get to the hottest bat in the game, and then to set up the double play, and then you bring the infield in? That makes no sense on any level whatsoever. Crazy. At all. And so NBA coaches, to me, like, I just think guys are so talented. They look at NBA coaches as basically, somebody who can manage the players, right? Manage the attitudes. Like, Ned was great at that. Managing the egos. Joe Torre was great at that. I think that's where a Major League Baseball manager and a basketball coach are at their best. They got to manage those egos. And if you're not managing those egos, you serve no purpose.
Text line says the players quit on Malone.
For sure.
And that Jokic signed off on this.
Well, there's no doubt Jokic had to have signed off on this. I'm just saying he's not a guy who's going to the owner and saying, Malone's making me mad. He's saying I should watch film, and he's being mean to me. That's not Nikola Jokic.
No, he'd be like, if he dies, he dies.
Yeah, exactly. He dies, he dies. Yes, no, that's exactly right. No, 100%.
Now get out of the way. The horses are racing.
but you're not doing your job. And he got to the point where he was tired of talking to these guys.
Yeah, for sure.
And so he just let it all hang out there in front of the media, probably ultimately got him fired. But he exposed those players, man. He's like, there's only so much I can do. If you're not willing to put in the work, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can only help yourself, man.
One of the three teams in the West with a winning record against teams above 500.
And who is the interim manager? Coach?
Coach? Who is it? Michael Porter Jr. or senior?
I heard of him.
Yeah, it'll be Michael. Yeah, it will be.
LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball is coming in to coach that team.
Yeah.
No, I mean, what the bullpen catcher ranks up there is a useless job. You know,
but I'd love to have it.
Oh God, yeah. It'd be fun. Yeah, I don't know, man. You get pitches thrown at you by he all day, and you know
that's all right.
Yeah,
just wear an extra padded glove.
I think I don't think they make a lot of money being the bullpen catcher. And I think they're also like high school gym teachers. But you know, they do that kind of stuff too. Maybe it's changed since back in the day. But you know, those guys would have like day jobs and they go sit in the bullpen, drink beer, and catch the bullpen as they warmed up. But I mean, the NBA coach, you're not long for this world, man. It's you're just not.
Some people might find this next topic is useless conversation, but here's one for you. Without bats, we wouldn't have tequila. Tequila comes from the agave plant, which they pollinate. Coming up on the other side, egg salad sandwich, peach ice cream sandwiches, pimento cheese sandwiches, and it's time to let go of a legend and embrace something that could be born after this weekend. It is the Masters.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
Guys, I'll do my best to keep my pants on, but it's finally here.
Hey, you do you, man. You want to drive around with no muffler and no pants, you go for it.
Better believe it.
Who am I to tell you now? You put ketchup all over that hot dog.
Well.
You put mayo on that hot dog.
That was the other guy.
I'm looking at Mac now.
He goes raw dog.
I like some mayonnaise. I can do some ketchup.
That's absolutely disgusting.
What about tartar sauce on your hot dog?
Pass.
Yeah, so Masters Week has arrived. It's always Wednesday. Last night they had the dinner. I don't know if you saw the group photo or not, but Phil Mickelson looks like he was on a cocaine bender.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Oh, my gosh. His face alone has gone viral of how he just always looks like a lizard. Like, he just looks like a creep.
He's always kind of sweaty looking.
Yeah, because he's always gambling, losing money that he doesn't have, and drinking straight black coffee and hitting bombs. He sucks.
Why do people get mad that he took all that money then? You know, if he has none, right?
Well, that's why. Yeah, you go look up the Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson gambling stories. Like $10,000 a game in ping pong. It's nuts, dude.
Dude, those
till
guys
like 1 o'clock in the morning, just going back and forth. Like, Phil, you wanted to run it back? You're down 20 grand. Run it back. You push know, it.
Like all of these guys that are in professional sports, professional athletes, we'll call them for lack of a better term. They're competitive in everything. They want to kick your ass at like eating a bagel faster than you, and they'll wager on everything.
Sounds like
because
my life.
That's how competitive they are. That's why they're the best at their sports, because they're constantly, constantly in competition with everybody else. And they never think it's good enough. Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
So if you want, here's a minute and 58 seconds of just pure greatness.
Even to this day, driving on Magnolia Lane,
it's where all the great players have driven.
The trees that wrap around the clubhouse are wonderful sights.
This is Bobby Jones's home and place.
The house with its cupola and walls of masonry 2 feet thick was charming.
Oh, wow! Arnold Palmer is the Masters champion.
You feel the pass everywhere you go here.
An iconic place, just second to none.
General Eisenhower's great contribution to the popularity of the game of golf.
This unique and well-conditioned golf course inspired superb play and much excitement.
One of the epic performances.
Extremely excited to announce the inaugural Augusta National Women's Amateur Championship.
Matsuyama Hideki, Masters, won.
There it is, a win for the ages.
The greatest tradition I've been a part of is being a part of the Champions Dinner. The history and going back in time to hear the stories, you're going back 60 and 70 years.
The return to glory.
It's just a life-changing experience, and I really plan to represent this jacket the way that others have before me, and they've set a really high bar.
And that is a new Masters record in history here at Augusta.
Stayed in the crow's nest, which is third floor of the main clubhouse there.
The tradition of staying at the crow's nest, it was great fun in that year. It was something I'll never forget.
Bob Jones wanted that from the inception of the club.
It seemed that this land had been lying here for years, just waiting for someone to lay a golf course upon it.
R.I.P. to the one and only Bobby Jones there, the co-creator of that course. There's that beautiful sound of that piano. As you can picture Magnolia Lane as it is the Masters. And this is why
I'm sure CBS.
A lot of you are probably annoyed, but if you're not a golf fan, I apologize for the next 25 minutes. I don't apologize for the next 15 minutes.
No, I mean, this is the Masters. This is something that everybody should embrace,
this,
man.
This is, you're damn right.
Part of
right.
America.
You're damn right. It is the official start of spring.
Yep.
If you're in your office, you're driving through your car.
If this is in the fall, it just doesn't hit the same way.
And it did one year when they had COVID. They switched the season. Everybody just doesn't feel right. Nah. Why doesn't it feel right? Because it's not the introduction to spring. You woke up this morning, 55 degrees outside. You'll go home today and you'll watch so much greatness that is like the
build-up. Is today the par three?
It is. And there's always something that happens. Like there's going to be a shot. The one I always remember is when Jack Nicklaus's son hit the hole in one. Right with his dad on the par three.
He couldn't handle the truth.
Yeah, and, it was, the Golden Bear, his son, he hits a hole-in-one on the par three. You see, like, all these golfers that, you know, when they started were 20, 21, 22, whatever they were, and now they've got little munchkins running around. You get to see the leaderboard that is the classic big white board. It is the greatest golf event outside of the Ryder Cup. We always have a group debate, like, what do you get more excited for, the Ryder Cup or the Masters? I still think I'm going to go to the Ryder Cup this year. I'm going to try to pull some strings to see if I can get there. It's in Bethpage Black up there in New York.
No, you're going.
Yeah.
You don't have a choice. You want to go.
Go.
You need to go.
Right. We're working on it. And but no, this is why it's a tradition like any other. This is why Jim Nantz scripts out his final call on that Sunday, because he wants to get it right. I'm always against that, but when it's in this sort of situation, like, your life is forever changed if you win this tournament.
Mm-hmm.
I remember watching Hideki Matsuyama win it a few years back, and like overnight his net worth just skyrocketed, because in Japan, like, all of a sudden they're like, all right, dude, you just won the Masters. Like, what do you want? You want this product? You want this product? You want this billboard? You want this building? You want this, you know,
it's,
whatever.
It's funny you bring him up today, because I was reading an interview from Rob Manfred yesterday, and they were talking about playing games in Japan. And he said there's 56 million people, I think, in Japan. And he goes, and every one of them is a sports fan.
Oh, yeah.
And so when you do something great and you're of Japanese descent,
mm-hmm.
you are a hero in country. And that's so cool, man. I wish we had something like that here. But everywhere around the world, you do something special in sports, you are a folk hero. And in Japan, they were obviously talking about, Otani and the money that he's generated for Major League Baseball and the interest in continuing to play in Japan. But he said 56 million people live there, and all of them are sports fans. And that's what's really cool about something like the Masters. You see an entire country celebrate a victory.
Yeah, and I think when you think of the Masters, like, and I thought the text line brought this up, it's like the Four Nations tournament, right? Like, I'm a, you know, hand of God, I don't give a rip about hockey, but if it's something that's special and different, I will give it my attention.
That's where sports is headed, though, I think.
I always go back to when I first started, you know, doing Royals games in production, and I would, like, tell Vern, I'd be like, oh, did you see this shot? He'd be like, shut up, I've got it recorded, don't tell me, I want to be surprised. Doesn't do that for anything else other than the Masters. It's just something that is, it's different. Everybody's kind of, you know, built up for this thing. You hear the audio before, the crow's nest where the amateurs stay, the champions dinner. Tiger wasn't there last night due to, you know, please keep my privacy, you know.
Oh, he did not show last night.
He was not there.
Wow.
No. But again, like,
he didn't like the menu? Or?
No, he's in rehab for his Achilles.
Still,
not anything else.
Show
just
up.
Respect his privacy.
Okay.
Free meal. You know, the other thing that's great is that there used to be the four legends that would tee up for everybody. Yeah. There was Jack. There was Arnie.
I always liked it when it was kind of foggy.
Yeah.
It was kind of romantic.
now there's three. I don't know how many more we have left of the three. There will eventually be two.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be one. And then there will be none.
Right.
And everybody gets to kind of embrace that as you go through life with those golfers. And, you know, it's cool that Watson's a part of that. You don't need to do it. You don't need to do it. Respect the golf. Golf clap. Right. But no. And then
Watson.
I think the other thing, too, that comes with this in the Masters is that we just talked about with the guys that tee off and the guys that have always get the inaugural number one first shot of the tournament. Let's introduce them all. Give them all their accolades. And then officially welcome to the Masters. Now teeing off. Some Joe Schmo.
It's funny you bring those guys up because I was thinking over the weekend, you know, just kind of reminiscing a little bit. I'm getting ready to be 48 and I'm thinking to myself, in sports terms, I was a child probably at the best time to be a sports fan in the world's history because you were exposed to all the pioneers who did stuff before. And now I'm living in an era where the athletes are the greatest of all time. I've kind of seen it all in my lifetime. So like all those guys that are teeing off, I remember watching them play on the PGA Tour. And you heard about those guys or in baseball. Like when I was a kid, I remember driving to KU. The day I drove to KU, Mickey Mantle died, right? So you had those memories and the stories of all the guys that came before that laid the groundwork for where we are today. Kind of like a bridge generation in sports. And you mentioned all those guys. I would bet Mac never saw one of those guys play in a real golf tournament. Maybe you never even saw one of those guys play in a real PGA Tour golf tournament.
I only saw when Watson almost won. I think it was the either U.S. Open or it was the European Open or the Open. He was in contention till Sunday. He had the lead.
You're talking
about
recently.
Recently.
It was,
I want to say it was almost.
It was the British Open.
British Open, yeah. And he'd almost he fell apart on Sunday because he just couldn't hack it.
Yeah.
But I mean, he was in the lead going into Sunday, and it was like, this is Tom freaking Watson.
Like, not that I was a huge golf fan growing up, but you turn the golf on, and Jack would be on the leaderboard. Tom Kite would be on the leaderboard. Gary Player, Fred Couples, you know, Chichi Rodriguez. All those guys would be on that leaderboard, and that was the first real, group of professional golfers that made an impact. And then obviously Tiger came along. So I just feel like I grew up in the best time because I had that bridge to the past, got to see a lot of the past through highlights and stuff like that, hearing about it. And now we're here today watching some of the best athletes of all time. And it really is, this Masters kind of ties all that together. It's kind of like, you know, baseball did the Field of Dreams type of thing. You know, you've got to celebrate the past. You've got to celebrate the romantic side of sports because it tugs on people's heartstrings right now. Like if you're not thinking about the Masters and spring and all that stuff that goes along with it, you just don't have that pulse in your body today.
And I'm glad you mentioned the Tiger thing because we talk about Gary Player and Arnold Palmer that's no longer there, Jack Nicklaus and Tom Watson that will tee first, eventually you had to let those guys go. They weren't going to play anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you have to do with Tiger Woods, but you can always never forget one of the greatest moments in Masters history.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness. In your life! have you seen anything like that?
I will never forget where I was in that moment, because obviously that clip is like 3.5 minutes long because Tiger and Stevie take forever to figure out where to put the ball, where to hit it. And the whole time, poor Chris DeMarco, dude, almost had his first Masters. Wait 1 second. Tiger and DeMarco, and that's the 16th hole, and they'll always bring this up every Masters where he's just sitting like shelf high. It's a double breaker downhill, and then Nike makes $20 million because that ball sits on the cup. You see the swish in the ball, and then it drops.
Yeah.
And then shout out Vern Lundquist, man. Your life, have you ever seen anything like that? And at the time and to this day, no. And then, of course, Tiger wins the Masters in 2019, and we brought it back together because that's the last time I think the golf community, of course, that happened at the Masters. Mm-hmm. That's the last major that he won. And now we're at a point where Tiger is not Tiger anymore. And I think it's tough in sports when you have iconic figures like this to kind of tell yourself to let that go. Tiger is never going to do that sort of stuff again. 2019 will be, in my opinion, the last major we see him win. Cannot stay healthy, is no longer part of the game. And I know it was tough.
I don't know if I've ever seen an athlete break down like Tiger Woods, Dusty.
It's tough. It's, I mean, the swing, the lab, all the stuff he did throughout his life, it eventually just dissipated quicker than most. And that's okay, because like we had to move on from Jordan, and we had to, we don't have to accept, but you had to know that like the torch was passed at the time to Kobe, and then Kobe retired, and all of a sudden here's LeBron, who did his thing in Miami, whether you liked it or not, but LeBron has now been that guy that's like the guy in the NBA, the current GOAT. He's not going to be the GOAT. Jordan will always be that way. Mm-hmm. And then you see what Tiger did. You have all the moments, the major wins, the green jackets. And then you shift your focus over to what a sub story, not a sub, probably one of the, probably the biggest story, which is Rory McIlroy. And the reason why this is so important for him is because of three very important things. One is it would complete the career Grand Slam. Not a lot of guys can do that. Not a lot of guys will ever do that.
How are you not rooting for Rory then this weekend? Let's go get that taken care of.
The other one is he's never won the Masters. And for someone who is like Rory McIlroy, who I know is a competitive prick, like one Eric Bieniemy called Patrick Mahomes, like it eats him alive that he has yet to win this. Like knowing that there are probably 15 guys that go to that championship dinner where you're like, I know I'm better than those guys. I've won more majors than those guys. Won four, never won the Masters, never completed the career Grand Slam. And as somebody, as we just mentioned, as you know, LeBron to Jordan or Jordan to LeBron, Rory was kind of that same way with him to Tiger. Like he was, you know,
is he getting too old to be that guy now?
He's only 36. Golf, you hit your prime golf prime between like 30 and 42. So he's still got juice left. He still pounds the golf ball further than most people on the tour. Also, Gary Woodland, pay attention to him this weekend. But no, I think it's okay to root for Rory. And because I think the third thing that's important for him to win this is that this is the time and moment that Rory needs to kind of do this, because you look back, it was a couple years ago, the PGA kind of ran him as a, you know, like a sheep in the, they drug him through the mud with the Live decision and the PGA decision. And then overnight
he became the spokesman, like unwillingly for that.
Well, cause nobody else could step up. Tiger wasn't really playing, but he was kind of in control. Like he's the one that got the troops together, flew in and had the meeting or whatever. And then Rory was the guy that at the time was the face of the PGA, cause he didn't jump. Whether you agree or disagree with his decision, that's not the narrative of this conversation. But Rory didn't do that, was drugged through the mud. And then all of a sudden overnight it's all, you know, forgotten, everything's fine. Then you kind of like fast forward through a couple of moments in Rory's recent career where there's, you know, the altercation at the President's Cup or whatever the hell it was, not the President's Cup, but it was maybe, you know, it was the Ryder Cup, and he's outside and Shane Lowry's having to drag him back in, let him get in the car because he's arguing with somebody because, you know, one of the caddies walked over his line and like got in his face and started, you know, waving his hat out because they were doing back and forth with Patrick Cantlay. It's a long discussion of why the hell whole thing happened. And then you look at this most recent tournament that he was in where the guy takes a video and he takes his phone. Yeah, everybody's like, what are you doing, Rory? Yeah,
that's a douche move.
And then he goes and wins the whole damn thing in a playoff on a Monday.
Right.
And that can all be forgotten and kind of just brushed away. Like, you know, diehards will always remember him being a, you know, a little crybaby at times. But you win the career Grand Slam, you get your first Masters, and then all of a sudden, from there on out, the door is open for you at the champions dinner. And a lot of people say, dude, Dusty, it's just a dinner. Not to them, it's not. This is a club that you want to be a part of, right? And it's kind of like similar to where you can throw a little bit of analogy or comparison to that Royals video that Gordon was now the new member of the Hall of Fame, where like Bo and Brett and Sween Dog and all those guys are sitting around and the door knocks and then you hear Ned say, about time you got here, and Gordon gets his blue jacket.
Right.
Rory's jacket's been made. They know he's going to win one. It's just constantly been in the back of the closet. And if he can get that thing to be put on his shoulders this year, I mean, that's great for golf. That's great. It's enormous for Rory. And then all of a sudden, his career is made and he is a legend. I don't know if he's a legend yet. He might be. But you win the career Grand Slam. You win a jacket. You get every single major. You do this in this time of your career where Tiger's career has completely dissipated and yours has absolutely gone up. And keep has potential to keep going up. You do that this year, and it's legendary for Rory, and he is the most bet-on golfer in the Masters this year to win it because I think there's a lot of hope, there's a lot of desire, and there's a lot of, well, he hasn't done it yet, he's got to do it soon.
Yeah, and I think from a golf standpoint, like they obviously need somebody to take over for Tiger Woods. They need people like me and Mac to be watching Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and quite honestly, I'm not. And I'm barely watching on Sunday unless Tiger Woods is walking up that 18th fairway, right? Like that's the average sports fan. We want to tune in for the players. We want to tune in for the names. We want to tune in for the stories. And I think, you know, the NBA is never going to let go of Michael Jordan. Baseball, you know, we're just now starting to let go of Babe Ruth after 100 years of declaring him the best baseball player ever. We're never going to let go of Tom Brady and Joe Montana, no matter what Patrick Mahomes seemingly does. And golf will never, ever, 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 ever let go of Tiger Woods because he wasn't just good. He wasn't great. He was phenomenal. He was the best thing we'd ever seen, maybe in sports, when he came onto the scene. Nobody dominated like Tiger Woods did. And I don't know that there's another athlete that brought more people to the party, aka their sport, than Tiger Woods did for golf. I think he, you know, he
changed everything,
the entire sport. Nike created a golf line, you know, rest in peace, Nike Golf, but they created an entire golf line because of him. I got clubs because of Tiger Woods. I watch golf because
YouTube
of Tiger
golf
Woods.
Channels are existing because of
yeah,
golf,
like
of
the, Tiger like, Woods. Like the golf. What's the word that my kids use right now? Influencers, right? Yeah. They were talking about the other, like golf influencers on YouTube TV have become because of Tiger Woods. Nobody has done more for a sport than what Tiger Woods did for the game of golf. And I don't want to hear Joe Montana or Tom Brady or anybody in the NFL or anybody in Major League Baseball. We were all fans of those sports. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were golf fans. They just aren't. You had your diehard golf fans and maybe, oh, there's something interesting taking place. Maybe I'll tune it in on a Sunday. Tiger Woods came and everybody became a golf fan. And I remember sitting at college drinking Keystone Light on a Sunday watching Tiger win that Masters.
Praise be.
And my grandmother sitting on the couch at home watching Tiger Woods win that Masters in her 90s, in my teens. That's the type of, you know, athlete that Tiger Woods is, was, and always will be. Golf has got to stop saying we need to find the next Tiger, this, that, and the other thing. It just has to happen naturally. And I feel like that conversation of the next Tiger, who's going to take it over for Tiger, I feel like we've been having that conversation for a decade now. The answer is nobody. The answer is let it happen organically. The answer is if it doesn't happen, then it doesn't happen. This was the greatest representation of a sport we've ever seen in the United States of America. And it's probably going to be a couple of generations before we get that new Tiger Woods or even somebody close to doing what Tiger did for that sport.
And I know there's a lot of people out there that are like, well, what Scottie Scheffler is doing right now is great. It is. But the thing that was different about Tiger and the thing that's different about, you know, Rory is that, like, Scheffler doesn't really have a whole lot of charisma. Like, he wins at such a boring rate where it's just like, oh, God, another great shot. That's sick to watch. Trust me. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy it. But, like, the Tiger Woods thing is just, like, the total package.
The fist pump is everything for me.
And, like, the crowd roars.
Right.
Like, I remember Ron Hewley went to the U.S. Open, and he was like, you just knew when Tiger Woods got a birdie, you could be 35, you know, yards away or not even that close. You could be, you know, 400, 500 yards away. And you knew when Tiger did something. And I was like, as a casual fan, you know that? Imagine being a golfer in contention knowing that that roar just happened.
Oh, you heard that. Yeah.
You knew that was you knew what was going on.
You're screwed.
Everybody knew it.
Yeah.
Everybody knew it.
There's no professional athlete that's been more dominating at their sport than Tiger Woods. Nobody.
Yeah. And I'll say this before we wrap this up. Your Masters odds favorite as of Wednesday morning at 7:42. Scottie Scheffler to win it is plus 400. Rory McIlroy is second at plus 650. John Rahm, former Masters champion, plus 1,300. Colin Morikawa, everyone's most hated media golf member, he's at plus 1,800. And then Xander Schauffele at plus 1,800. And a dark horse, Bryson DeChambeau at plus 2,000 to win it. So
where's Tiger?
Exactly. So thank you for that. But no, for those that asked on the text line, the career Grand Slam, you win every major.
You win every major. Yeah.
It's kind of like the same in tennis.
That's cool. Yeah. I mean, that's why I'd like to see Rory win, just so he can get that Grand Slam, that career Grand Slam, and kind of give him the, I don't know, the status, if you will, that he kind of deserves. But to sit there and say Rory's going to be the next Tiger, it has to happen naturally, man. You just can't force that.
No doubt about it. You can't force everything, but you can force a story that maybe could come to fruition. From convict to champion, we'll explain what that means on the other side as we continue this Masters conversation here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Hey, it's Matt Quatrero, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, if you go to YouTube, you can watch us and listen to us and the other shows. All you do is one slight favor. Just subscribe. Like it, subscribe it. Then it just goes straight to the top of your screen. You don't have to worry about checking anything else out, searching for it, scrolling down. You just, boom, baby, right there. Bob's beautiful face. Speaking of Bob's beautiful face, you can see it at the landing on April 24th. I'll be there going beer for beer with Rob Maloney. But it'll be at the Liberty, starting Liberty, landing in Liberty. How you doing, Dusty? Let's try that again. Thursday, April 24th, at the landing in Liberty, starting at 6 p.m. Bink and Unicero, they'll be broadcasting live during the first round. Draft contest is back with a chance to win $965 plus an autographed Juan Taylor helmet as a prize. 1 point for every player drafted in the first round. 3 points if you get it right. Player on right team. Sheet must be turned in prior to the number one pick on the clock. And the fan staff will all be in attendance. Those Ben Maller chicken fingers will be there, and that Big Bob's Bavarian pretzel as well.
$9.65 for the pretzel. Get the chicken tenders and get the pretzel and eat them together.
Mm.
Combo.
Yeah.
You got to have an appetizer.
A retzel tender. A tender retzel.
I wonder if they would wrap their tenders in the pretzels.
Ooh. Well, you know the guy.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can ask.
Yeah, I've suggested a lot of things to Maloney and De Palma before most of them get turned down.
No.
Like, I think he should put a sign that says free beer tomorrow, and then it's always in there, and it's always tomorrow, and there's never any free beer. He didn't like that idea.
That's great. Oh, no, it's tomorrow.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Free beer tomorrow. Tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow. It's always going to be tomorrow. You know, I've suggested some opportunities to Maloney.
I'm sure
in the day.
You have.
Some really good ones too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, not interested in.
So a story that you're interested in, I think a lot of us are interested, is Angel Cabrera, right? Freshly out of the Slamma.
Yeah, freshly out of jail and right to Augusta.
That's right. Of course, that's the rule of Augusta. You win it once, you are entitled for life to play in that tournament.
Right.
That's why Patrick Reed, that guy, he's always welcome back.
Isn't there a guy that plays golf named Cantlay?
Patrick Cantlay.
Yeah,
he's annoying.
That's a terrible last name for a golfer and just for a person.
Yeah, he's pretty good, though.
Is he?
Yeah. There's a Patrick Cantlay and there's a Xander Schauffele.
Well, the Cantlay is, to me, the funnier name, but the Xander Schauffele, I mean, that just screams.
Oh, yeah.
Screams Mission Hills resident.
Are you rooting for Cabrera?
I don't know if I'm rooting for him. I'm glad he's getting another opportunity. It kind of reminds me of, like, Michael Vick getting out of jail and Leavenworth and Andy Reid taking him in and him turning his life around. Like, I think Michael Vick is such a great success story for a guy who did something horribly wrong, served his time, but rehabilitated himself and came out on the other side, not smelling like poop like Andy Dufresne, but changed his entire life around. I don't know anything about Angel Cabrera, about who he is as a person or whatnot, but I'm hoping, you know, going away because you were a douche for a couple of years helps him reset his career like it did for Michael Vick. Like Michael Vick, man, I don't think people appreciate enough how he was able to come out the other side and how Andy Reid was a big factor in that as well, visiting him in Leavenworth when he was coaching the Eagles and mentoring that guy and turning his life around. Everybody makes mistakes in life. Some are bigger than others, obviously. Every mistake has those consequences. But Michael Vick is kind of the guy you should look at if you've been in that situation to say, I can turn my life around. And maybe, you know, Angel Cabrera can do the same thing.
Yeah, in 2021, he was arrested in Rio de Janeiro as a result of Interpol issuing a red notice due to him having left Argentina without authorization following the start of a trial. So, you know, dipped out on a trial, yeah, where he was facing a number of criminal charges, including assault, theft, and illegal intimidation. He remained in Brazilian prison until June 2021, when his extradition to Argentina was completed. On July 2021, he was convicted and sentenced to 2 years in prison. In November 2022, he was convicted of a second assault and sentenced to an additional 2 years and 4 months in prison. He was then released on August 4th. Cabrera was cleared to play the PGA Tour sanctioned events in December 2023. So if you remember the 2009 Masters when he won, I always remember him just firing up a dart.
Yes.
And they asked him about it. They're like, yeah, why would you do that? He goes, I was so nervous and so out of my mind with what was going on. The only thing I could think about was a cigarette because I just didn't even know where I was. I was just, I guess you could say he was blacked out.
Right.
And I just remember him in that 2009 Masters just walking down, smoking that cigarette. And I'm just like, I mean, in this situation where your life is about to change and you're completely nervous, like, I mean, if I had a bottle of bourbon in my bag, I'd have just taken it out and swigged it.
Yeah, like, you've never been in that position. None of us have ever been in a position like that before where your life is about to change in a major way like his did now. Am I going to sit here and root for the guy? Probably not, but I am rooting for him to turn his life around. Like, I hope he used that jail time for good and understood what he did, what he can't do again, and how to change his life around. And if he did, then it worked for him. If he comes out the other side like Michael Vick did, then it worked and it served its purpose.
There was a poll question that we had today, plus there was a Masters poll question. We'll get to him on the other side. And Kevin Harlan, man, you think we sell Ben Maller chicken fingers, you listen to Kevin Harlan sell tenders. We'll get you that audio on the other side of 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at TheFan965 for behind-the-scenes content from the show. Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5, The Fan.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.